Hello, and welcome to The Staffing Show, the only podcast that delivers tools, tips, and tactics from the staffing and recruiting industry's top executives and thought leaders.
Today's podcast is brought to you by Staffing Referrals. At Staffing Referrals, we understand the challenges your agency faces every day, from finding high-quality candidates and clients to automating your recruitment process. Our platform is designed to help you grow your agency faster. Imagine a world where your agency can automatically build your talent community, improve your recruiter's productivity, and automate manual processes, all the while improving the candidate experience. But don't just take our word for it. Here's what a few satisfied customers have to say. Our referral program boomed after partnering with Staffing Referrals. The technology allows us the tracking, communication, and reporting our traditional referral program desperately needed to unify and expand. Can't imagine our business without it. Are you ready to transform your staffing agency? Let's reduce your dependency on job boards. Deliver the experience your candidates expect from a modern business and turn your talent pool into a competitive advantage. Visit staffingreferrals.com and get ready to grow.
Hello, everyone. Thank you for joining us for another episode of The Staffing Show. Today, I am super excited to be joined by Chris Scouten, who's the CEO of Newberry Partners. Chris, thanks so much for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks, David. It's great to be here.
Awesome. To kick things off, why don't you tell us a little bit about who you are and how you got into staffing?
Okay. I just realized this week represents 27 years in the staffing industry for me. So the gray hairs certainly are starting to show it. I stumbled into staffing right out of college, was doing some like door-to-door sales and happened to walk into an Apple One office in Newport Beach. I was kind of getting tired of that whole door-to-door marketing stuff and kind of walked in and said, hey, do you guys have a job for me? Can you put me to work? And they realized that a 22-year-old kid out of college with no office skills was pretty much unemployable for them, but they liked my attitude. So they offered me a position and said, you can't start for 2 weeks. And so I went home to Arizona, hung out. And as I'm driving back into LA, I get a call from them on Sunday before I'm supposed to start. It says, we have to rescind your offer. We can't insure you. Your driving record's too bad. You have too many speeding tickets. So my career in staffing ended before it ever started, but it was an interesting industry. And so I did what we do in the mid-90s, late 90s, and started diving through the newspaper that Sunday afternoon and interviewed with several companies and started with what's now Motion Recruitment about 2 weeks later. So I spent the first 6 years of my staffing career in IT staffing, bouncing around the country with Motion and opened several offices for them. And then after 9/11, saw the dot-com implosion and got into accounting and finance and helped start what's now Remix Financial, and then pivoted into RPO. And spent about 6-7 years with IBM leading their global RPO practice, and then got back into staffing, doing some work with AMN and TrueBlue, and ultimately just 5 years ago decided I wanted to be in charge of my own thing. I didn't want to be part of any publicly traded companies anymore. I wanted to go the entrepreneurial route. So I took a step out and took a package and use that to fund the acquisition of Newberry, which I closed about 3.5 years ago. It's been a great experience so far. So now we're focused on applying all the lessons learned over the years around process and technology and helping staffing companies here in the US and UK on optimizing their tech stacks and their org design, their process, and really getting ROI out of all the investments that they're making. So it's a super fun experience. I've got an amazing team, great leadership team that I work with, an amazing list of customers. We're having a lot of fun doing what we're doing right now.
That's amazing. You've got a well-rounded background. It sounds like you've kind of taken what you learned at the largest publicly traded staffing firms and now are applying some of those best practices from a broader perspective through Newberry. Can you tell me a little bit about Newberry's background and how you guys are working with staffing agencies today?
Yeah, the history of Newberry is really interesting. It started in 2005 when Oracle acquired PeopleSoft. And there was a team of consultants there that were focused on the staffing vertical. And Oracle made the decision they were moving away from that. So the team stepped out and created Newberry Partners almost 20 years ago now. And they were focused initially on PeopleSoft for the staffing industry. And then over time have kind of flowed with technology changes. They created a front office company, which was Newberry SI, which is the business I acquired. But they started into Leo Business Edition and then went to eRecruit. And then as Bullhorn acquired eRecruit, they became the first SI partner for Bullhorn. And then over the years, we really have expanded our services as Bullhorn has made more and more acquisitions. And we've just really grown with Bullhorn over the years. And so that's where the majority of our work is. But we still do support other platforms like Salesforce and HubSpot and other, a lot of marketplace partners that sit on top of the Bullhorn platform.
That's great. Yeah. When I think of Newberry, I immediately think of all of the work that I've seen and heard about through your partnership with Bullhorn. So I've always think of you guys on that first. But I know when we were talking, the Salesforce and HubSpot, you guys are doing that is awesome as well. How big is your team today?
So there are 72 team members that are spread throughout the world. Majority of us are in North America. We're all virtual. So there's about 6 to 8 folks that are in UK. And then we got one person that is in Australia.
Got it. Jumping away from kind of the Newberry component of it, what are some of the, you guys, you're working with so many different staffing agencies. I think that you're probably seeing a different perspective on what's happening in the industry maybe than some of the staffing firms we're talking to. But what are some of the kind of key trends that you're seeing today?
Yeah, it's been, I'd say, a tough 18 months for a lot of the customers in the space. The SIA indicator continues to show that we're seeing a 10 to 15% declines year over year. And those are starting to stack on top of each other. And we saw that start to happen in Q3 of like 2022, and that trend hasn't changed. So as staffing volumes go down, that just puts a tremendous amount of pressure on the staffing firms to manage their costs properly and make sure we're getting the right performance or productivity out of their team members, and every dollar they're spending, they have to get an ROI out of. And it makes it harder to make investments unless they're private equity backed or venture backed or publicly traded. So those firms are the ones that we're seeing still make investments in technology, but also be very aggressive on the acquisition front. And it's kind of the haves and the have nots a little bit right now.
Yeah, it does feel like that. And I think getting the most out of existing technology is something we're seeing just across the board, hearing from people. And I think that's such a critical element always, but especially when the market's shifted downward like this. What are some of the activities, or are you guys partnering with companies to help them identify ways to maximize the ROI? How are you guys approaching that?
Yeah, to back up real quick, I mean, I think we're feeling a lot of hangover from COVID still. Yep. Because that was the impetus to really digitize the industry. And what we saw was just this massive rush to go get technology to create remote work, to automate a bunch of stuff. And what we're seeing now, three years post, is a lot of the promises that were made of those technologies are not coming to fruition. And what we saw kind of as a business as Newberry is we really rode that wave of implementation, and that grew our business 300% in those 3 years. And we were just keeping up with the demand for implementation. As over the last, call it, year, we're starting to see that slowdown, and it's given us the opportunity to circle back to customers and check in and see how they're doing. And what we're finding is a lot of them are in the same spot that we left them post-implementation. They just haven't had the resources or the skills to continuously improve and optimize the technology and take advantage of new releases. And so that's where our team is trying to go help them do an audit and assess their whole tech stack. And are they on the latest releases? Are they configured properly? Are they integrated properly? All of those pieces will help them get ROI. But it also, what we start to see is these technologies have evolved and they've extended what they're offering. And now you end up with duplicative kind of capabilities and maybe overpaying. You may not need all of the tech stack that you had. So it's just that constant cleansing and evaluating where you're at and making sure that you are getting what is promised on the technology.
Yeah, that makes a ton of sense. I always think of as you're talking about technology, it just reminds me of like the approach I've always thought about with websites. Is I think a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to build a website. And okay, that's done. Now we can move on. And it's like with any technology purchase or investment in a website, I feel like it's like the equivalent when you launch it and it goes live. It's like that's when you've opened the doors to a store, and now you need to make sure the store has people there to facilitate what needs to get done. He's being managed and operated, and it's not just set it and forget it. As much as everybody wants it to be that, nothing's quite fully at that stage yet.
Yeah, completely agree. I mean, it's really the realization of living in a SaaS-based world is that there's constant new releases, there's constant updates, and you have to have highly competent people that are looking at that and taking advantage of it. Like that's how you really can differentiate from your competitors.
Yeah. And with that, are you guys seeing any specific technologies? Are there different ways that you're kind of working with staffing agencies to make sure that they're investing in the right software and getting the most out of it? I know you talked about kind of the high level of overview of it. Do you have any specific examples of the types of things you're doing?
Yeah, I mean, the big trends right now are all around AI, automation, and business intelligence. So the foundation there is what we're seeing on the data enrichment side of updating all of the candidate and the client contact data, making sure that's fresh. So when you go to layer on automations, it's not landing at dead ends. It's getting to the right person. And we've had a lot of good success with Candidate IQ in doing some data enrichment there on the candidate side. And now they're launching a client IQ solution here shortly.
Nice.
So that's been really cool. And they're super cost effective. It's easy to just plug that in and go.
That's great. And then on the data side, I just did a webinar on this, but we were talking about how so many staffing firms are like, how do we get more out of our team? How do we get our recruiters to be more productive? And then you go look at like, what's the recruiter's process? And they're searching for contact information. They're trying to figure out who to reach out to. They're trying to figure out like what software or what candidate fits the right job. And it's just like between data enrichment software that's out there. And then also I think a lot about matchmaking software like Opus, where you're like, not only should you have the right data, but then give your recruiters a starting point of here's the most likely person to fit this job so that they're not having to do that work and they can focus on what they do best, which is the relationship. Now, you were about to jump into another area as well.
Yeah, I mean, the next area that we see is an automation. And a lot of companies have gone out and they purchased the license for Bullhorn Automation or Sense or some of the other tools that are out there. And unfortunately, what happens is they go through their implementation, they stand up their first 10 or 15 automations that are just kind of the standard basic that everybody does of happy birthday and like, please update your contact information and what's your availability. And then they just drift back to their day job. And a lot of times they're asking the recruiting director or somebody that's not necessarily thinking about automation every day or thinking about process every day to own that. And it just atrophies. So what we see is the best practice is either having somebody that lives and breathes automation at least half of their day. And those companies will have 100, 200 automations and they get massive productivity out of it. Or find a partner that can come in a fractional basis and do 10, 20 hours of automation work for you in a month. And generally, they'll come with libraries of best practices. You won't have to reinvent the wheel yourself to think about automations. They'll come to the table with best practices and allow you to really accelerate that automation journey. Yeah, there's tons of stuff you can do there.
There's so much you can do, and it can be complex, and you do need somebody who has expertise or somebody who knows how to do it and manage it, and then also like checks in on it. And I think I've managed HubSpot for staffing agencies for a handful of software providers as well. I used to be a HubSpot channel partner, and it was just like people think they can buy it, and it's like, oh, it's okay, it's good. It's like, no, stop. You actually need to like look at how it's performing and make tweaks to it and make sure you got the right journeys or playbooks or whatever you want to call it running. So that's really great advice on that front. I think at one point I had like five conversations. This was a few years ago, but it's like, oh, you use whatever automation tool. What are you using it for? And I was like, well, we got happy birthday running. I was like, what else? Like, I think that might be it. Right. I was like, it's come a lot. There's so much more that it can do, but you really have to take the time to do it. So that's great.
And then the next biggest area is AI. Yeah. It's still emerging. Everybody's piloting stuff and trying to figure out what's going to really resonate. What we find is right now, the best application for AI is really around like the creative writing side and leveraging the LLM model. And so helping you with the writing successful job descriptions and writing successful email campaigns and thinking about the structure and the order of those email campaigns, AI can do that stuff great. They can take the transcripts from your calls. Like if you're using Zoom, you get the AI transcript, you load that right into your AI and gives you a nice summary. And you can turn that into a submittal for customers. So there's just a lot of stuff you can do there. Also, if you need a fast start on creating an SOW or doing some contract generation, it's a good start there. And so those are just some easy ways that we see it being applied. That's kind of free, cost-effective. Like you're using the stuff that's already out there. For products that are truly like integrated and are a formal product, there's some really neat stuff that Kylo's doing with their AI Assist. And they basically have created plugins into Bullhorn and have a dozen different kind of applications or models running. And just allow you to use the AI engine right in the Bullhorn platform. And then you could select which language model you want to use for each transaction, each task. Cool. So is it Claude for this or is it ChatGPT for something else? It's really, really helpful.
That's amazing. Are you using AI in your day-to-day personally?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, all the time. Like I've always have writer's block. Like I'm the worst. I can create an outline all day long. Yeah. Ask me to go start writing. I took English 102 at the local community college just to get through it. So I didn't have to actually go to like real college. I'm just not a great writer or I don't enjoy it. So it helps me get something started. And as long as I got a draft, then I can really refine it and I can make it mine and I can expand on it. But I just need help getting started.
Yeah, it is amazing. From a brainstorming perspective, I am obsessed. And I use Claude now, Claude and GPT, but Claude I'm actually leaning more and more towards. And you can upload a deck and ask it to give you grade it and then give you feedback like slide by slide. And it's just, it's unreal how much I've started to use it as like a assistant to, it doesn't give you the finished product, but it can move things forward on the brainstorming side so much. It's really incredible. So
I would say the one other AI piece that I really like that I think is kind of next gen is what Glide is doing. So this is really kind of the next generation of what you'd see from PandaLogic and Broadbean. So programmatic job distribution using AI to identify the best location and return for your ad dollars, rewriting the job descriptions to make sure it lands and has the highest click rate. And then a chat bot to screen and score every candidate and then drop the transcript right into the notes there and write a submittal for that. And so it coaches the candidates along the way too. If they're not a fit for the job, it explains why and it recommends some other jobs for them to consider too.
I feel like the initial screening use case for candidates is one of the best. It's just like a really good use case for AI that I think is going to get adopted pretty rapidly, whether it's coming from Bullhorn, from the ATSs themselves or products like Glide. I think that's going to be a thing that's out there.
Yeah. I mean, as an ex-recruiter, an old recruiter, like I would love nothing better than to create a job description and not touch anything until I come back the next day. And here's 10 pre-screened candidates that are ready to go. And I click a button, they self-schedule an interview with me.
Or even full circle, you said this, but like taking the Zoom AI summary, having that create the job description from the conversations and have that go through. Shifting gears a little bit, since you are, I know we've been in more challenging times in the staffing industry for the last 18 months. It does seem hearing a lot more optimism from the companies I'm talking to. And also, I actually haven't looked at the Bullhorn indicator this week, but that's usually my North Star for how things are going. And I'm hearing more optimism. I think we've got to maybe get through the elections yet. But what are you seeing staffing agencies do that are navigating the market dynamics exceptionally well today?
How would I say this? So I am hearing the same optimism that folks have kind of have really felt like things have stabilized and maybe we've hit bottom. We've started to see week over week incremental growth, but we're still down year over year. I think the optimism is there. As we talk to all of our tech partners, pipelines are getting stronger. So they're having more conversations. So they feel like the second half of the year is certainly improving. The companies that are navigating it really well are the ones that are looking internal to optimize what they have. They're hyper-focused on the productivity management of their teams. Do we have the right data? Do we have them focused on the right activities? Are we getting our junior level people up to comparable performance with our top people? So can we shorten that ramp time? And that's really where we see AI cutting that time down a lot. And so it's a lot of continuous improvement activities. They've cut costs already. Now they're thinking about like, how do they just outperform their peers and just out hustle folks right now?
Yeah. And it does seem, I mean, I think there are some agencies leaning into investment right now as like, this is the best time to get ahead, which I think is true if you can do it. If you have the financial standing to do it, it is a good time to accelerate or to kind of spread from where you are today. But the whole component of bringing the junior recruiters up faster, what are some of the activities that you see staffing agencies do to make sure they're bringing the junior people up to a senior level more rapidly?
Yeah, it's a lot of what we were talking about of how to apply AI on the writing side. And because your senior folks that are top performers, they can write a submittal letter in 5 minutes and they just, it'll be high quality. They'll know it's good. You got a junior person and this is the first 10, 15 times they're doing it. It's going to take them an hour or so just to like, they're going to grind over it. They're going to think about every word. They're going to question everything. So if you had an engine writing that for you that you knew was quality and you trusted it, that just speeds that process up a whole lot. And it also, if you've got a chatbot or something that's screening it, they're going to get more information out of that and ask more relevant questions than maybe a newbie would. And some of the research that we've seen out there is candidates are more likely to spend more time with AI in chat than they are with an actual person, and they will share more relevant details.
That's
interesting. It's scary. They prefer talking to the bot. The AI versus the person.
That's crazy. It's also, it's funny as you're talking about the using AI to scale, become a better recruiter faster. And I think I've heard this at every conference for the last year now, but I still think it's worth repeating as the recruiters saying, is AI going to take my job? And it's like, AI is not going to take your job, but a recruiter who uses AI will take your job. And I think it's such a tool for becoming better, doing more faster. And I think that's such a key element of it. One thing you just touched on there as well before that, but or you and I had talked about at least was the roundtables that you guys do. What, can you tell me a little bit more about what the roundtables are and how that operates?
Yeah. So we've got, I think, 4 or 5 different roundtables that are focused on various topics. So we've got a CIO roundtable that has 11 or 12 staffing CIOs get together every month. We've come together with like pre-packaged topics and what's on their mind. What do they want to talk about? I mean, they're sharing best practices and what products are they piloting or what challenges are they having with implementations? Who do they know? And so it's really a networking opportunity, but it's a chance to share best practices. We've got one that's focused on Bullhorn admin, so new releases and configuration questions. We've got one that's focused on automation. And then there's another one that I don't recall off the top of my head it is, but those are the three that I sit on, and I enjoy those calls every month.
That's great. So you're getting people together, best practice sharing, but doing it with that kind of a strategic roadmap. Like, here are the things we want to solve. Let's get the people together. Are they across all verticals, a non-competitive as a kind of the approach? Or
I mean, there are folks that are in the similar industries. I don't know that they're in the same markets. It may be geographically different.
Yeah.
But I mean, the sense that I get is everybody feels like there's enough business to go around and we're solving the same problems, that it's not proprietary information. We want to help each other grow and support each other.
That's great. I love that. So with that, we're going to go ahead and jump into the speed questions. So I've got a few left for you and then we'll close it out. So the first question I've got is, what advice do you wish you were given before entering the staffing industry?
I was thinking
Or would you give today?
So 27 years, so I've got a lot to reflect back on. I would say I would be more patient in the role that you're in, because I was always the guy that felt like needed to be in charge, and I should have had the top job a long time before I did. And if I see where some of my friends and peers are now, I didn't need to change every 5-6 years and get bored. I could have stuck it out and got there. Ended up in a great place anyway, but being patient and riding the wave a little bit longer, you'll see the career progress, and you'll eventually get there. So you don't have to be CEO at 38.
Even though we think we all know.
Absolutely.
and then you get there and you realize what you don't know.
Oh, yeah.
In the last 5 years, what new belief, behavior, or habit has most improved your life?
I would say the work that we're doing with PetroCoach. So we partner with them to implement scaling up. That's a methodology is born out of Entrepreneurs Organization and MIT, the kind of the birthing of giants class there. And it's all about how to take a business from 10 million to 100 million and what foundations do you need to put in place? How do you develop leaders and kind of grow businesses within a business? That's really been exciting to see us adopt and put in place over the last 3 years here at Newbury. And it really feels like by doing that, we've got a well-run business. We're in control of it. We're developing leaders and we're creating the right culture, which is showing up in our NPS scores that are like 84 this year. And
that's great.
Our employee NPS scores are in the mid 70s. So if we can have happy employees, we're going to generate happy customers. And so that's kind of the focus for us.
I love that. And I second scaling up or traction. I feel like I've used both at different points, but it's such a good framework. What books or book have you given most as a gift or have been most influential to you?
So two things here. So I am an Ayn Rand nerd. So I love Fountainhead. It's kind of not always thought of. You usually think of Atlas Shrugged, but I liked Fountainhead. And I've given that quite a bit because I think she gets a bad rap, but it's great reading. It's scary how right she got the predictions. Like 70 years ago, she wrote those books and like it feels like it's predicting what's going on right now. So that's really interesting. And then on the stuff I do now is more listen to podcasts because I've got 3 teenage daughters. So I spend a lot of time in the car driving them around. And yep. Podcasts that's been really helpful has been Founders. And basically, the host reads an autobiography or biography of one of the world's greatest entrepreneurs, founders, leaders, and then does an hour and a half review of that. And he's at like 350, 360, 360 that he's done so far, and he ties them all together. And so it's really educational. And I'm a history nerd, so I love reading all about that and kind of learning what business leaders had done before and their stories and the perseverance that they had to go through. So it's really relevant for the world that we're in right now.
Well, that's great. I'm going to have to check. I'm a big podcast guy as well. And I think maybe I've come across that, but I haven't listened to it. I think I've heard
it. Yeah, it's cool. It's really cool.
Well, it's been really nice having you on today. Do you have any closing comments for the audience?
Thanks for having me, David. It's great. Love the conversation. For folks that just want to get an idea of where they're at, give us a call. We'll come in. We'll do a full month assessment for you for free. We'll give you recommendations on what we think you may want to consider. You can use us or you go on your own, but we're happy to lean in and help folks. So just reach out to me, chris.scouten at Newbury Partners, and or just sales at Newbury Partners, and we're happy to help you.
Now, are you guys still doing the complimentary tech stack optimization? I don't want to put that up. Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. Effectively, we'll come in and do a tech stack audit for you for
that's
free. For
the first that's great. Chris, it's really great having you on today. I enjoyed the conversation and have a good one. Thanks for joining.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Have a good week.
Thanks for listening to The Staffing Show. Don't forget to sign up for our newsletter at staffinghub.com to never miss an episode. Until next time.